Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
Hello, it's John Buskell here from moondogmarketing.com. Welcome to episode 142 of the show. This week, I'm going to be talking about believing in yourself as a marketer, about doing different. Well, I hope you're doing well this week. I'm just back behind the microphone on a Saturday morning here in Stockholm. Everything's good in the doghouse studio. Got the woofs with me. The sun is shining. I can see the snow melting. Perfect. Now, like I said, just at the intro there, I'm going to talk about believing in yourself and doing different. Now, as a marketer, I'm a professional marketer. I run a marketing bureau, a small shop, an agency, call it what you will. And you might also be in this space. You might work in this industry, but you might also be a different kind of business. You might be someone who is interested in understanding more about marketing to enable your own business, to enable you to market better. Or you could run a company and you want to understand what you should be pushing your team to consider. I hope you find this interesting. I'm going to be sharing an overview of something what we're doing now at the moment as of February. I'm just thinking quickly. It's Valentine's, February the 14th, 2015. I'm going to talk through some of the things that we're doing, some of the responses we're getting, and I want you to define your own position on this. Now, I say this time and again, but the nature of podcasting like this, going to conferences and taking a position and talking about what you do, being a blogger, there is always the risk for the person that comes across the content generated by people like me. There's always the risk that you start to listen to the so-called gurus. Not that I'm calling myself a guru, but let's say for the purposes of this podcast, there's always that chance that you take who you listen to regularly as gospel and you start to follow exactly what they suggest. Now, I do think that listening to professionals in the industry that run a business based on what they do, so they talk about what they do, what we do with clients, etc. So, I mean, I do think that there is a point of there is a point where you have to take them seriously to a certain extent, because, of course, that's how we make our living. However, I don't trust, I don't believe in, I don't agree with every kind of bit of marketing advice that many of the people that I listen to, that I read, always put out. Sure, there's lots of good practice there. There's lots of great stuff. But I always check things out for myself, and so do my colleagues. And I think no matter what industry you work in, even if you follow best practice, because we are lifelong learners, we are always looking, we should be looking, to make our own decisions about how things work. Now, I'm going to talk about a couple of examples, like I said, that we're working with at the moment. Now, one could be, or is, I'm going to talk a little bit about our website. And the other is I'm going to talk about some lead generation campaigns that we're running, some paid channel campaigns that we're running. So for starters, I want to talk a little bit about the moondogmarketing.com website. I got an email this week, was it last week, from Patricia over at purpleselect.com. Patricia's email amused me. It came late in the day over here in Sweden, and she wrote that she loved the podcasts, but didn't think we were following our own advice. On one of the podcasts that I listened to, we've been talking about making the content about the customer, and that she wrote to tell me that way too much of what was on the site was about the we, and cheeky scamp that Patricia is, she even offered to help, with our copy. Now, this amused me, partly because she was being a cheeky scamp, but also because it's good to be questioned like this. I like the fact that she was questioning us. And of course, I went off to do some research on who Patricia was and where she was coming from. And I had my own chuckle at some of the things that she'd got out online. But the important thing here was that everything that we've done on moondogmarketing.com, the new site that's come with transitioning the business from Jontis Media, and jontismedia.com, the website, no longer exists. I changed it completely, pushed everything over to moondogmarketing.com for SEO. That was the most important thing. And I'm really happy, actually. I did have my mouth, my heart in my mouth. Is that the expression? It's always difficult coming from Swenglish. I had my heart in my mouth when I decided to, you know, change over to a different URL because I was worried what it would do to traffic to the site. I was worried about how it would affect our search engine optimization, but it's actually doing really well. I'm really pleased. But if I go back to what Patricia was saying, that it was all about we. Now, when I changed the company and changed the website, I'd been doing lots of research on how we present things to customers or leads. And yes, I tracked the copy by using some split testing, some the copy on Jontis Media, and I'd begun to notice that about pages were really important and that people were doing more and more to find out who we were, to get a sense of the trust, I think, to the trust behind our brand. And I wanted to convey this. I also wanted to convey in the Moondog website exactly the kind of agency we are, exactly the kind of people that we are. So I made the decision to change the copy quite radically from the old site. And yes, I do think, or I know, that there is more copy about we. But at the same time, there's also more copy about you. In other words, the prospects, the kind of people that we were hoping to get into our site through what we do with the blogging, through the podcast. There is a huge chunk of content that we put out there that is about you. And I've realized, and I can see from the data, that it's actually working in the sense that people spend more time checking out who we are. I've actually had more personal feedback from people contacting me. And I think on some level that comes down to sharing more about who we are. I've changed that strategy on social media by showing more of the kind of person I am, showing more about what I do in my life. I've tried to be more personal. And you can see that certainly through the hashtag 515 photo, the 515 photo hashtag that I put out almost on a daily basis, trying to make the I or the we behind the company come through, not just to put everything on what we're saying about answering the customer's problems, the issues that they have, trying to make a better balance between that. What I can say from understanding and studying the data is that people spend more time on the new site, that they contact us more, that they delve deeper into the site. And by using the flow patterns that you can see in Google Analytics, which is great, that they go where we want them to go now. I'm really pleased about that. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there about putting constant focus on your intended audience. Absolutely. And that is my core belief, that you must communicate with your target audience. But nowadays, I'm starting to qualify that more by making sure that you demonstrate who you are. There are so many people marketing their business without putting a picture of themselves, without showing who their personality, what their personality is. I really don't trust websites, particularly small to medium-sized businesses, small businesses. I really don't trust those businesses if I don't understand who the people are behind it. I'm not going to reach out. And I think that's where we were failing more, by really not showing who we are, where we are in the world, what we bring to the party, what we bring to the work. So I politely disagreed with Patricia, took my own position for 2015, and let's see where that goes. Now, I'm at the point where I think that there is so much marketing online that is really samey. And the strategies that people use to market their business online are really samey. Of course, this is going to be because a lot of these samey approaches work. But there is a real risk that people get blind to things, that the target, the lead, the potential lead gets blind to things. Perhaps in the same way that I don't really see the digital video adverts running on the screens everywhere around the malls. I don't really take them seriously. Yes, it's brand awareness, I know, but you start to become blind to things, and you can see that the ebook sign up, which does work, but ebook sign ups are everywhere, that everyone's trying to get you on your on their newsletter. Yes, it does work, but there is so much of that. And I suppose I'm someone that's trying to always learn. I'm very suspicious and cynical and come back and return again and again to how things work. And so I've taken the, over the last couple of weeks, my team and I have taken the decision to try some more aggressive marketing online to see what we could get. Now, here's the deal. So we're a small agency. We do lots of things like web development. We design new websites for people. We develop their branding, we convert them to WordPress, we work with the Genesis framework, and a lot of our business is web design. We also do content creation, we write blogs, we write PDF ebooks, we even make podcasts for people, you know, hot videos, all sorts of things, all sorts of content. But we were looking to make more websites for people. We'd like to reach more B2B businesses. And so we, at Christmas, started doing a little bit of, hey, get a free audit of your website. And we've rolled out a more aggressive campaign now in the end of January and going through February. So these campaigns, these lead generation campaigns, one has been to sign up for a free video audit of your website that will make a video, will talk through the strengths, the weaknesses, talk about the branding, the conversion for websites. And the other lead generation that we're running is a contact to contact us directly to discuss a project, get out there and really work with us. So we've got these two campaigns out there. And my initial response to how we were going to do this, I thought, well, I'll do it the free way. I will absolutely blast through Twitter in Swedish and in English. I will absolutely blast get a free audit. Not paying for it. Let's see what we get. We did this for a week. I think it was 2 weeks. And I was really surprised by the real increase in traffic to the landing pages that we put out there. We got a real stack of traffic, and that surprised me. And we got conversions. We got requests from people to have video audits, to have audits of their website. We got requests from other marketing agencies checking us out to see what we were doing. And that's always a difficult one. You do have to watch for other marketing agencies trying to check out what you're doing. And no matter what industry you're in, you're going to be aware that competitors will be doing their competitive research, their due diligence to check you out. One of the decisions that we made in doing this campaign was, well, we could risk losing followers. I didn't lose followers en masse. I did suspect that it could impact it, but actually the number of people following me on Twitter, despite this, well, I don't want to use the word spam, but I was flooding my Twitter stream every couple of hours with call to actions to go off and sign up for our lead gen. I thought that people would leave, but they didn't, and more people followed me. One thing that I did realize was that my market, the segment of people following me online, was too many people working in the same marketing space. Not that I don't like engaging with these people. It's great to share ideas. I love people, my colleagues, my peers. I love that. But at the same time, it was also one of the things that convinced me, okay, now is the time to really push on building a company Twitter profile. So now you can follow MoondogMM on Twitter. Like to have got Moondog, and Moondog Marketing is way too big, and Moondog Marketing Media, the official company name enligt the Swedish tax people, is way too long. So Moondog MM, go along to twitter.com moondog.com/moondogmm. So we've really been starting trying to build the followers on Moondog to see what we can do with that. But I was amazed. Didn't lose people, got conversions. Was very careful in what I put on the landing pages, or what the guys did when they made the landing pages. We decided only on having a name and a URL. We didn't ask for qualifiers on all the versions of the landing pages that we made. Some of them we asked for budgets, and some of them we didn't ask for budgets. We knew the risk would be that we'd get solo entrepreneurs, people that have absolutely no money, contact us, and some people did. And some of those people we made videos for, and some of them we didn't. It's very difficult. I would like to have done it for everyone. Of course, even small startups who have absolutely no money could one day go on to be Apple, etc. But when we were just way too busy with transferring the company and didn't do it. And if you are a super small, have absolutely no money, and are just trying to get a bit of free advice, unfortunately, we're not able to help you. But if you are genuinely potentially interested in working with us, do go along to moondogmarketing.com/podaudit, P-O-D-audit, A-U-D-I-T, moondogmarketing.com/podaudit. And I'll know that you listen to the podcast and that you take this fairly seriously, and you understand that I'm going to, or Villa, Sebastian, who also work on this part of the work that we're doing, will look at what you're doing. And if we see that, yep, you are a bona fide business and could potentially be looking to work with us, we'll give you a very cogent 15 to 20 minute video walkthrough. So there you are. There's an offer for you. Just go along to moondogmarketing.com/podaudit. So after the organic tweeting on John Busk on my own personal Twitter account, I started doing it on Moondog MM, the new one that we'd set up, and it's still pretty much early days, and started tweeting the hell out of the stream. And it amused me. I get very easily amused. On a school report as a child, I once got, John has a misplaced sense of humour. It amused me that at Web Optimering, that's a Swedish Twitter account, Web Optimering, and they, he, she, tweet in Swedish for 99% of the time, and they don't have a website associated with them, although Web Optimering means web optimization. Web Optimering reached out to me and said, hey, you should be careful with all this mass tweeting that you're doing for your campaigns, that you're going to lose followers. And we had a bit of an exchange, and it was quite interesting because I pointed out that, well, we were running a test and I didn't really care. Well, of course I do care, but it was a risk I was prepared to take, a calculated risk as a business owner. And actually, we weren't losing followers. You could argue that perhaps we weren't gaining more, but we weren't losing followers, not to the extent that I might have even noticed. I didn't notice that we were losing anything that made me, you know, pick up my ears. But that, well, actually, we were getting traffic and interest from leads in Sweden. We were doing a lot of this in Swedish. And I sort of reached back to Web Optimering and said, well, actually, it's a test that we're running, and we got conversion from it. And Web Optimering was actually quite interested by that. And I suppose it would be useful to test. I was doing this 2 an hour in short bursts, 24-hour periods, three times a week. It would be interesting to see if every fourth hour worked. At the moment, I'm trying something different. I'm not going to reveal that, but I am trying something different. Might talk about it in the future. But this absolute bombarding of Twitter streams was working. So I then, with the guys, we decided to take it to the next stage. Now, I don't know if you've done any Twitter advertising, but the cost of clicks with the keywords that we're targeting is actually pretty good. It's 5 crowns, so that's about 52 cents in euro, about 59 cents US dollars for each click, each engagement. That was actually cheaper than Google AdWords. So we started running a Google AdWords campaign, a Twitter campaign to put out our lead gen tweets, our adverts, our keyword AdWords advertising on Google. So we were running these concurrently. And lo and behold, paid advertising, Google AdWords, paid for Twitter clicks work. It drives people to your landing pages and it does get conversions. There's so much talk in the marketing, in the content marketing industry about that you've got to do organic content marketing, create something that's of value, put it out there, and make sure that you have a funnel that drives people deeper into engagement with you, building relationships. And I know this works. I know it works. But I've always been quite hesitant about pay-per-click. But the kind of campaigns we're running at the moment, pay-per-click, really is making me realize that it's time to look at this again more seriously. It is very noisy with digital marketing. Actually having people take action is getting harder and harder because there is so much noise out there. Sponsored adverts on Twitter and Google Ads work. Here's one of my favorite things. With Twitter advertising, you can take people's usernames and you can make sure the ads show up in their stream. Now, yes, that is kind of sneaky and Big Brother, but imagine that you have built a list on Twitter of people that are potential leads and you're following them and you're trying to engage with them and talk and blah, blah, get noticed, etc. Now that list, imagine that you could augment the potential value of that list by dropping in a Twitter card, a graphic, promoted, standout tweet that will get people clicking through. If your copy's good, if your design of your landing pages is good, paid advertising is a channel to really consider. And I think it's time to start considering that more seriously because so many people have adopted the organic content marketing approach that the so-called gurus, that digital marketers, that podcasters, that speakers at conferences have been talking. Of course, there is a wealth of people who talk about the value of pay-per-click, but I think it's something that people, that businesses are always slightly wary of. But it's the same as advertising in magazines. People will say, yes, it's hugely expensive and you can't measure the exact value of magazines or mail shots, but they do work. I want to tell you an anecdote now. We were working for a customer here in Sweden. They needed to get some customers. We did a mail shot. We made a brochure for them, one of those threefold flyers. We had it sent out to their demographic and got conversions. They were super happy. It was actually very, very, very successful. And what's the word? The return on investment was very good. I was surprised how good it was, but it really made me yet again stop, say, I'm going to stop listening to those people that say that pure print advertising no longer works. And think through, I think as long as you've got the right budget, as long as you think about your target audience, put it out there, you can see that it works. Again, this is me, this is us at Moondog saying, we're prepared not to listen to the so-called advice of everyone out there. We're prepared to try things, to test, to measure carefully, and then go again, in the words of Steven Gerrard, Liverpool Football Club. Now that's me sharing my thoughts with you on a Saturday morning. I want you, if you take anything from this podcast, I want you to stop for a minute and think, are you doing things because other people tell you they're good without measuring them, without seeing if they really work? Do you dare to be different? It's always a risk in business. Starting a business is a risk. Using other people's budget, you're risking your reputation, your job. Absolutely. But do things on small scale. Do things with a budget you can afford. Try things. Here's what I think you could be doing that some people warn against. that could bring you some value. Pop-ups. Said to a customer this week, we should really introduce a pop-up. You could use a pop-up quite nicely to get people onto your site. His response was, and I know he listens to the show, his response was, oh, I absolutely hate pop-ups. So do I. I really hate them. But do you know what? In a lot of instances, pop-ups, intrusive pop-ups that try and get you to sign up, to get a piece of free information, whether it's an ebook or join a list, work. They convert. In the right places, they can convert big time. Just because you hate it, just because other people will say, no, they're old school, they're so 2003, try them. Dare to try them. If that fits with what you're trying to do with your marketing. Call to actions that are big, bold, and ugly on your website. Do you know what? I've seen them work. They do work quite a lot. It amazes me how many designers get hung up on making something beautiful. Sliders is a clear example. Sliders do look beautiful if you sit there and look at a website and look at all those lovely images going through. I can appreciate them aesthetically, but as a hard-nosed business marketer, I know that sliders slow down the page. I know that sometimes an uglier website, a simpler website, can convert much, much better. Now, of course, you have to be measuring everything that you're doing. You have to be prepared to see that it's an organic process of having a website and to measure, to update regularly, to look at what you're doing, to split test. But do not be afraid in deciding, no, I'm not going to go with the website that's all bangs and whistles. I'm going to simplify. And I can give you an example of that. Look at the moondogmarketing.com website. We don't have a sidebar. For 10 years, my websites have had sidebars. I've now killed the sidebar. I was terrified that not having a call to action in the sidebar would affect conversion. But do you know what? It hasn't had an effect at all other than positive. People spend more time on the page. People scroll down further. They're reading the things that we want them to do. And they take the action that we want. List posts. Some people go on about how the value of list posts are, you know, that they're so good, that the scannability is great, that if you make your landing pages with bullet points, easy to read, very short and snappy, yes, that's what you should use. Now, in some cases, list posts do work, and I like to throw them in the mix sometimes, but also long pages with lots of content, lots and lots and lots of paragraphs can also convert, can also get the action that you want to be taken. One of the things that I see a lot from really successful marketing online is that weekly post that is cogent, one of my favorite words, lots of information, lots and lots of information around a topic. It's not that short, snappy 10 best list posts that were all the rage for a number of years. Be prepared to try something different. Guest posting. Lots of people were saying after Matt Cutts, he works for Google and is one of those Google SEO gurus. Matt Cutts wrote a while back that guest posting no longer works, that Google looks at guest post links and thinks, they're rubbish, spam. So lots of people started saying guest posting is not the way to go. Well, actually, Matt Cutts went back and amended his post, and guest posting does work. It does work. If you'd listened to the people that started saying, don't guest post, you might have got screwed. Google Plus. I talk to lots of people and they say, Google Plus doesn't work. No one's there. It's a ghost town. But do you know what? I also know customers. I also know colleagues, people in who are doing marketing, that Google Plus is the main place that they convert. It is the main social media channel for them, not Facebook, not Twitter. Facebook. Had an email this morning from a customer wanting to really start developing a Facebook business page, Remember how everyone said that was the place to be? I probably said it myself. Now, other companies are junking, are trashing, are killing their Facebook page. Who you listen to and what you decide to do, it's a difficult one. But dare to make your own choice to measure and see what you get. Dare to do different. And finally, cold calling. Not online marketing, but actually reaching out, phoning people and trying to persuade them. A lot of marketers say, no, cold calling doesn't work. Well, I also know that it does work. And if it's something that you're prepared to do, why not give it a go? It's not easy, not very nice at all. I hate it myself, but I do know it works. So as I wrap things to a close, sorry for going on, it does feel like I'm getting on my high horse here or my soapbox. But I suppose that what I want to say is that I really want to encourage you to take your own position. Let's be aware, people, that there is no hard and fast golden rule, best praxis model to get success, to get where you want to go. If there were, everybody would be doing it. A lot of people make a lot of money by selling the notion that this is, if you follow these steps, you'll get where you want to be. A lot of people make money doing that. It's not always the case. For me, it's all about measurement, setting your goals, going out there, trying something, daring to do something. If you can financially try something, measure very carefully. Don't blow your money. And whatever you do, I wish you the very best of luck. So that's it for this week's episode. If you've got any comments or questions, do get in touch with me on Twitter at John Buskell, JONBUSCALL. If you're not on Twitter, try and connect with me on Facebook. I'll be back with another episode very soon. But for now, from me and the woofs in the Doghouse studio, thank you very much for listening.
Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
As always, recorded in the Doghouse studio. For more, visit moondogmarketing.com.